things niggle away at you sometimes? They just start off as small things in a relationship, and yet before you know it, they're tearing you apart. Hi, I'm Bernie Diamond, and welcome to the program. Now, today, we're going to be taking a look at irritability and resentfulness from a different perspective. And do stay tuned, because in just a few minutes, I'll be telling you about the powerful prayer that could be coming your way to help you through whatever you happen to be dealing with in your life just at the moment. I remember when Jack and I were married many years ago. It was back in the days when toothpaste didn't come in the plastic tubes that it does today, but these were kind of soft metal tubes. From when I was a little boy, I had been taught to squeeze the toothpaste from the bottom, and as lower parts of the tube became empty, you kind of rolled it up systematically. The aim was to get the maximum amount out of your tube. By the end, the whole thing was rolled up, except the very top, where you squeeze the very last little bit out before you open the new tube. Well, we got married, we moved in together, and I'm thinking we'll share the toothpaste tube in the bathroom. But to my shock, to my horror, she squeezed the old tube from the middle. And it was just this mangled mess. I was speechless. After a few weeks, I decided that for the sake of marital bliss, we would need to have separate toothpaste tubes, something which continues to this very day. That's crazy, isn't it? And yet, as Solomon writes in the Song of Songs, it's the little foxes that spoil the vine. It's the little things that can niggle away at a relationship that can destroy things. Certain things annoy each one of us. The things that annoy you are probably quite different to the things that annoy me. If you really want to annoy me, other than squeezing the toothpaste from the middle, be late to a meeting and waste my time. Why does that annoy me? Because I'm an achievement-oriented kind of guy who plans his time down to the last minute. See, sometimes we find other people's habits incredibly annoying, the way they speak or some aspect of their body language, and it irritates us. Think about how you behave when you're irritated. It's not nice, is it? You're not nice to other people when you're irritated. None of us are. And let me say it again, it's often the little things that rub us the wrong way. So how do we love others in that situation? Because that's what this series of messages is all about, love. How to love, what it means to love. And it's down here in the weeds, down here in the middle of the nitty-gritty little things of life, where either we love people or we don't. See, we often think of love as some grand thing supported by grand or romantic acts, and that's fine as far as it goes. Love is a grand thing, and sometimes we do big things. We make big sacrifices to love other people. But have you noticed how 99.9% of life is just the humdrum, mundane stuff, the same old, day after day? Here's what God says about the whole irritability thing. 1 Corinthians chapter 3, verses 4 and 5. Love is patient. Love is kind. Love isn't envious or boastful or arrogant or rude. It does not insist on its own way. It is not irritable or resentful. If you love someone, if you want to show the love of Christ to a work colleague, to a friend, to a child, to a spouse, then irritability and resentfulness, well, we'll talk about the second one in a moment, they just don't have any place in the relationship. If you've been married for any length of time, you will know that the little foibles of your soulmate can drive you nuts. Remember being in a church in Accra in Ghana a few years ago, and the pastor was preaching on this very thing. He told how all their marriage, his wife would just come in the front door and kick her shoes off and leave them there. It used to cause a huge amount of tension in their marriage, drove them crazy. Why can't she just pick up her shoes and put them away? Until one day he was praying about this and God spoke to him. God said, "And you just can't go and pick her shoes up and put them away for her?" Since that day, it's exactly what he's done, with a glad and a willing heart, and the tension's gone. You see, if we allow this irritability to go on and on, it turns into something worse. It turns into resentment. Now, resentment is a nasty thing. It's like a cancer that eats away at a relationship. When you start to resent what someone does, it brings up bitterness and unforgiveness. It's interesting to go back to the original Greek language that this verse was written in. Love is not irritable or resentful. Quite literally, it says that love is not easily provoked. That's the irritability bit. And here's what it says about resentment. It doesn't think about, dwell on, or reckon the evil. And that's exactly what resentment is. You dwell on it. You think about it. You turn it over and over and over in your mind. You think about how bad this person really is, and you ascribe it to them, and you reckon it to their account. You think of them as being evil. And here's the absolutely crazy thing. We do this over stupid little things like how you squeeze the toothpaste. You think about the people who irritate you, the people towards whom you feel resentment, and ask yourself, what is the thing that irritates me? What is the thing that I resent in that person? And 99 times out of 100, it will be some stupid, insignificant little thing in the scheme of things that really doesn't matter. Listen again, and listen carefully this time. Love is not irritable and resentful. So how do you overcome that? How do we get over irritability and resentment? The answer, the plain and simple answer, is forgiveness. Here's what Jesus had to say on the subject, Matthew chapter 18, verses 21 and 22. Then Peter came to him and said, Lord, if another member of the church sins against me, how often should I forgive them? As many as seven times? Jesus said to him, no, not seven times, but I tell you, 77 times. So this speaks directly into this sort of irritability and resentment that goes on day after day as someone's habits rub you the wrong way. When you think about it, we're a lot like Peter. He thought that seven times was an awful lot of times to forgive someone. But Jesus reaches into his hyperbole bag and says, no, not seven times, but 77 times, over and over and over and over again. Do you get the picture? If we truly want to love someone, really, then we forgive over and over and over again, just as God forgives us. Is it hard? Yeah, sure it is. Forgiveness is always hard. Look at what it cost Jesus to forgive us. Death on a cross. That's why Jesus said in Matthew chapter 16, verses 24 to 26, if you want to become followers of mine, then deny yourselves, take up your cross and follow me. For those who want to save their life will lose it, and those who lose their life for my sake will find it. For what will it profit them if they gain the whole world but they forfeit their life? Or what will they give in return for their life? The whole crux of love, the whole point of love, is that it's not about us. It's about the people whom we're called to love, you and I. There are two ways to live, for ourselves, with the big me in the center of the universe, or for God and others. And what, according to Jesus, is the single most important thing in life? Mark chapter 12, verses 30 to 31. You shall love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your mind, and with all your strength. The second is this, you shall love your neighbor as yourself. There is no commandment greater than these two. And as I said, all that begins down here in the weeds, in the little things, where the little foxes want to spoil the vine that bears the fruit of love in your various relationships. Sobering stuff, isn't it? So who's irritating you right now? Towards whom do you feel resentment right now? It's time to start praying about those relationships and your reactions and the forgiveness and the acceptance that needs to come out of your heart. Because that is what love is. Before we go, I'd just like to remind you that if you have a prayer need, we would love to pray for you. Listen, the only sort of prayer that the Bible teaches about is the sort that has powerful results. Just let that sink in. The only sort of prayer that the Bible teaches about is the sort that has powerful results. So if you'd like us to pray with you, in fact, if you'd like our whole prayer community to pray with you, stop by online at powerfulprayer.org to share your prayer request. It's completely confidential. Your name won't be displayed. And in fact, while you're there, perhaps you could pray for one or two others and leave them an encouraging word as well. The Bible says that the prayer of the righteous is powerful and effective. So let us pray for you and with you. And let's just see what God does, how he intervenes, how he chooses to bless you. That web address again is powerfulprayer.org. I'm Bernie Dimet. I'll catch you again, same time Monday, with a different perspective.